the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Roger Snow, the Senior Vice President of Tables and Shufflers for Scientific Games, on the current state of technology and advancement in the table game industry. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos. Now listen what I say, oh. Roger Snow is one of the most successful table game developers in history. Games and side bets he created are played in 40 countries around the world. His most popular titles include Ultimate Texas Hold'em, Four Card Poker, Crazy Four Poker, House Money Blackjack, DJU Wild Stud Poker, and many more. As Senior Vice President of Tables and Shufflers for Scientific Games, Snow directs a major division in the companies with his skill and experience. A former journalist, Snow writes a monthly column on table games for GGB Magazine. He spoke with me at his offices in Las Vegas in February. The more I see, the less I know, the more I like to let it go. Roger Snow, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. It's good to get together with you again. We're doing our annual story on table games, and the slant this year is kind of on the technology. So let's start. Table games have used technology for years, but they've usually been limited to scoreboards or jackpot meters or something of that nature, but that's really changing today. So what's at the cutting edge of table game technology now?
Well, great to be here. It always has been kind of a bad rap on the table games business that there's very little technology, but you see it every year. Mm-hmm. It sort of creeps up on you. So you mentioned the scoreboards for games like Baccarat and Roulette. You will see things like card shufflers. People don't think of a card shuffler as a terribly technologically advanced item, but mm-hmm. It is. You pop the cover off one of those things. It's like a wristwatch.
Sure.
It's so elaborate with all the mechanisms and motors and rollers inside of it. You're seeing a lot of things now on the progressive side, not just from our company, but from other companies as well. And that's the fastest growing part of the table games business, are the progressives. So other companies are out there. They have progressives that are based on participation. Mm-hmm. So casinos don't pay unless they're making any money. We have a wide area progressive about to go live in Delaware. We're going to link up three casinos with their blackjack games. And in the slot world, that's been done for a long time. This will be the first wide area progressive for a table game. You're seeing things you can't see.
Right.
So I'm aware of something with a roulette wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So roulette wheels are vulnerable to what they call clockers. You can see the speed of the ball as it starts to slow down and have a sense of where the ball is and what speed it is, where it'll initially land on the wheel. And it sounds crazy, but there are people who can do that. So I know that there are roulette wheel manufacturers who have created something inside the wheel that modulates the speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's imperceptible to the human eye,
right.
But if you're a cheater, it blows up all your plans.
Right.
So there are a lot of things bubbling beneath the surface in technology for table games.
Okay. So the progressive, I remember when it first started with Caribbean Stud when that came out. That was really a revolution. What are some of the iterations? You mentioned the wide area progressive. Is there different ways they calculate the bonus in different tables?
Well, each game is different, but you are seeing things, for example, and again, some of them are ours and some of them are our competitors, but they all work to advance the industry. So all these table games have different math models. So three-card poker. Now, for example, three-card poker, the toughest, if you picked out any single hand, it's about 22,000 to 1 that it'll occur. And on a game like Let It Ride or Caribbean Stud, the top hand is 649,000 to 1, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you get those games, plus Fortune Pie Gal, plus Ultimate Texas Hold'em, on the same link?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a methodology for doing it. I think other companies have them as well. The company we just acquired, DEQ, they were working on something very clever in that regard. Because when you walk into a casino as a player, you'd like to see the same jackpot amount on every single game.
Right.
And that's something we're working at pretty hard.
Okay, great. So let's talk about shufflers. You know, Scientific Games certainly has the corner on the market when it comes to reliable shufflers. What are some of the new technologies that are being input into these shufflers these days?
A couple of things, and I've always said shufflers are the least sexy product you ever find. But beneath that is a lot of technology. So let's take a machine called the Ideal Plus. And the Ideal Plus, its great-great-grandfather was one of the first machines our company ever came up with, a BG shuffler for games like Caribbean Stud, Let It Ride, etc. The BG begat the Ace, which begat the Idea, which begat the Ideal Plus. And the Ideal Plus has a feature on it. It's very important. And when it first came out, no one really paid attention to it. The Ideal Plus has a screen on the front of it. Mm-hmm. And typically, these shufflers, they're painted black.
Right.
They are hidden beneath the table for the most part. Mm-hmm. The Ideal Plus, I think, reflected an inflection point because the shuffler was right there in your face. It had a screen. And to be honest, when we put the screen on there, we didn't know what we were going to do with it, but it was a feature we could have. So we put table limit signs, the logos for the game, but you're about to see two examples of that screen being incorporated into the actual play of a game.
Okay.
So two games, Power Suit Poker, about to go live at Red Hawk Casino in Northern California, uses the screen to randomly select one of the four suits to be the power suit. And secondly, I think in March or April, something called the Coverall Bet will go live. It also uses the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So Coverall Bets, I like it. You make a single bet. It gives you action on every hand at the table. Mine, yours, the dealer's, the guy over here on first base that nobody knows. And the screen comes into play because the shuffler knows how many hands were dealt out.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the odds are dynamic. The payouts have to be different if it's head-to-head against the dealer or if it's a full table, because the odds of one of us getting full house or better, whatever it is, change depending on the number of players. The shuffler calculates it. The screen displays it. So you're integrating. You're integrating the game and the shuffler for the first time.
Okay. And I've been seeing a lot more shufflers. I was at MGM National Harbor, and I believe every table has a shuffler there. So is there becoming more de rigueur to have that as part of your equipment now in the table game industry?
It's funny. I've been in this industry 20 years. In March, 20 years ago, I came to Las Vegas and got my first job at the Mirage. And after a brief and uneventful stint as a pit clerk, I became the casino analyst. And my very first analysis was on card shufflers. We had just put, I don't know, five or six card shufflers out there.
Right.
And we were trying to analyze, were these things worth it?
Right.
But think about that. Now, nobody even asked the question that card shufflers worth it.
Sure.
So that's how far it's come. So now it's the point where you are much less likely to see a game without a card shuffler than one with it.
Right.
So, yeah, they're everywhere.
Okay. So I remember going to a presentation that Bally's put on in the mid-90s, I guess it was, about a table game system that included RFID chips, readable trays, trackable cards, all nine yards of technology and understanding. And here it is 20 years later, and there's still no table system that's in common use like this throughout the industry. What's the problem here?
It's a great question. It really is. And I imagine this is what it was like before. Sir, was it Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest?
Right.
Everybody looked at it, I'll get to that. Oh, that's not that hard. Then you get up to about 28,000 feet and you can't breathe. It's analogous to what's happened here. Everybody wants to get to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to do this. But that mountain is littered with a hell of a lot of corpses.
Right.
And even, I think, some of my coworkers over the years, smart people with great ideas, have really tried to do this. I think we're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few companies out there. So Walker Digital is perhaps the best known.
And I've gotten a demonstration of their system.
Yeah, and their system really has come a long way, not just in terms of the features, but in terms of the accuracy, and perhaps most importantly for the casinos, in terms of price.
Right.
Prices come, like most things with technology, prices go down over time. There's also a small company you may not have heard of called ARB Labs that has an optical chip reading system it's my understanding that system will go live at the Venetian either in March or April. And I got a demonstration of this a few months ago in a controlled environment.
Sure.
And seemed pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But it's got to get out there in the combat,
right.
In the combat fields, and to see if it can hold up. But people are still trying to scale that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's impossible until somebody does it.
Right.
And I hope it happens. I think there's a lot of value that can be unlocked. And our company has an RFID solution as
sure.
well. And I hope that somebody gets up to the top of that mountain, because it will unlock a lot of analysis, a lot of data anyway, for casinos to analyze.
Right. Well, from what I saw on the Walker demonstration, you pretty much have control over everything in terms of the chips that people buy in for, and they can identify who bought the chips, and of course they can identify any cheating that goes on at the table. So it was very impressive, I thought. And it sounds like they're as close as anybody has been over the past 20 years.
And you'll see, there's another company, I'll be remiss if I don't mention them, Genesis.
Uh-huh.
They're known for their poker room
right.
system. But they also have a system out there that determines the number of hands per hour. And again, in the slot world, they've got access to all the data.
Right.
But in table games, even knowing something as elementary as how many hands per hour does mm-hmm. the dealer get out, that's important to analyze productivity.
Sure.
So there's a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people, they've got their gear on and they're climbing.
Right.
And someone's going to get there.
Great.
Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing.
So for more than a decade now, slot companies have been, have used a participation model on some of the more popular games, particularly the highly themed games. That hasn't happened to any great extent on the table game side. Why is that?
There have been a few examples. And Micon, or Progressive Gaming, as they were called at the end, they had a lot of their Texas Hold'em bonus progressives out there on participation. There's another competitor of ours, AGS, has, I think they have a Counts Customs blackjack game and a Bonus Spins blackjack game that uses participation. I believe Galaxy Gaming has a progressive bet in England
mm-hmm.
that uses participation. As to why it hasn't happened more frequently, I think the difference is in a slot machine, the vendor has access to the handle, the win, everything you need,
right.
whereas in table games, it's a bit more of a black box. But again, everything stays the same until the moment it changes.
Right.
And again, you're starting to see, your question is very topical, and we're looking at it, we're about to go live with a wide area progressive.
Mm-hmm.
By definition, we will know exactly what goes on with that game's progressive wagers.
Right.
So I think you're going to see more and more of it, because if you're an operator, gee, how much does this game cost?
Right.
It's free.
Sure.
I mean, it's free. Well, you only pay me.
Right.
If you're getting paid, and I'm going to take a tiny piece mm-hmm. of it. So I think that the slot machine trend, the table games are going to follow that, not to the same extent,
mm-hmm.
but I think you will see it. It's something to keep an eye on. You'll see more and more of it as
okay.
time goes on.
Do you think particularly as these, like the Walker Digital game, I mean, that's an expensive item to begin with. Maybe they'll do some sort of participation with that?
Yeah, I can't speak for their business model, but it does certainly open up the possibilities.
Right, yeah.
Once you get that data, then you open up the chance to
sure.
have a different business model.
Yeah, no question. So let's talk about Baccarat. It's the expanding game, certainly in Asia, but in this country, I've been seeing it more and more. As I mentioned, National Harbor had quite a few Baccarat games, not only in the high limit pit, but on the floor. And of course, we have the one casino here in Vegas, the Lucky Dragon, that has a majority of Baccarat games. Is this a trend in gaming, that Baccarat is getting more and more popular?
Well, I think it's indisputable. that baccarat was getting more and more popular. I just got back from a trip through New Zealand and Australia, and again, anecdotally, you just see it more and more.
Right.
So that part is indisputable. My opinion, when other people may have different opinions, you know, mathematically, baccarat is one of the best games in a casino.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the blackjack games have been maybe 6-5.
Right.
They gaff them up.
Sure.
A lot of the blackjack games that we do or that we acquire and distribute, they have inherently higher house advantages
mm-hmm.
than a regular blackjack game does. They're more fun.
Right.
They're more volatile, but they have a higher edge. So look at baccarat. What, was it 1.1%, something
right.
like that, if you blend it between the player and the banker? No strategy.
Right.
I think the game, over the years, perhaps suffered from a misplaced
mm-hmm.
mystique about it. People see it in the James Bond movies,
right.
and they think it's complicated. It's, as you know, it's an elaborate coin flip.
Right.
Pick a side,
yeah.
bet it.
Yeah.
Player, banker. Want to bet the tie? Go ahead. So I think that's a big part of it. Something else, and this may come across as self-serving, but I genuinely believe it, is that we just recently picked up, we acquired DEQ, and
right.
now we're the distributors of a game called Easy Baccarat.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems with baccarat, from an administration standpoint, has been the commission.
Mm-hmm.
You got to charge 5%. Guy bets $750 on banker and wins, you got to pay him 19/20 of that.
Right.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now a dealer can do it.
I remember that was a tough thing to get over when I started dealing. You know.
So
5%.
Exactly, and you see it on Pai Gow tiles and Pai Gow poker
mm-hmm.
as well, but. Easy Baccarat is by far the most successful commission-free version of Baccarat. So you'll have about 850 tables or something,
mm-hmm.
something like that, and growing. So I think that has played a part in it as well, and it's got a couple of side bets. You know, Baccarat typically
right.
just had the tie bet. So I think it's a combination of things, but it's a good game for players.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get past all the BS that you think it's about,
right.
wait a minute, I just pick player or banker and I sit back and
right.
watch the theater unfold, deal me in.
Right. Now, my problem with Easy Bach always was that, you know, what's to stop a casino from just doing no commission baccarat using the same rules? And has that been a hurdle to get over?
Well, the patent landscape for the industry has changed quite a bit. The thing with Easy Baccarat is, and I told this story repeatedly when I was in Australia presenting the game, is that, you know, we tried.
Right.
Our company tried, and, you know, we're the biggest player by far in the
mm-hmm.
industry. But that brand, the brand those guys created, has been incredibly resilient.
Yeah.
And table games players like what they like, and they're used to that. And they see it, and it's not just the branding is important, but they also have a couple of they have a proprietary side bet on
mm-hmm.
the game. So people are used to it, people are loyal to it, and we learn the hard way that they don't accept imitations.
Right, okay. So DQ, this is obviously the main portion of their company, but they also had a lot of other different things. You mentioned the unique kind of progressive that they were working on. Was there other things with that company that really attracted you besides the Easy Buy?
Anytime you buy someone's company, there's usually a couple of things you know about.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, obviously, Easy Baccarat right. and the progressive system,
right.
those are the big drivers of revenue. That's what's important. They were working on a lot of really neat things
right.
in their progressive business. And small company, but pound for pound,
yep.
as innovative as any company I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
They did some incredible work. And we were fortunate enough to retain some of their engineers. Their chief technical officer has stayed on. So we're going to be the beneficiaries of a lot of the great work those people have been doing. So we're launching some new things on progressives. They also have a couple of other games, Easy Pai Gow. And like anything, there's a couple of things in the treasure chest
right.
that you don't look at.
Sure.
They have a game called Tiger Split, which is, you know, it's just another felt table game. But I looked at it and said, wow, this is really a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's baccarat based. So it works. It'll work hopefully well with Asian customers. So they've got a couple of neat things beyond Easy Baccarat and the progressive system.
Okay, great. So we've talked about introducing new table games into casinos and how difficult it is. First of all, you've got to replace a game that's already earning, and it has to at least equal that, if not surpass that. And it's always a difficult hurdle. Is there anything you see on the horizon that looks like it could really reach that level?
Well, there's a few, and again, in fairness, I'll mention games that are not ours. Sure. So the most prominent quote-unquote new game out there is the game High Card Flush, which Galaxy Gaming distributes. And it's just a fun game. It's a great game. It's got a good betting structure. It's novel in that you're just trying to get a flush, but it's still poker-based. Right. Over the years, I've always warned people about deviating outside of blackjack and poker, and I use the metaphor of language, that people know the poker language, they know the blackjack language. Don't make them learn another language.
Right.
And High Card Flush does a great job with that. There are a few other games out there. One that we're fortunate enough to have called Zap It Blackjack, which it's a blackjack game where if you don't like your first two cards, you can throw them away. Now, there are some reasons. It's like golf. Hit a bad tee shot, you have to take a mulligan. And it's funny how it works. So you put a couple out there, a little time goes by, but I'm starting to hear the anecdotal evidence. Hey, it's doing really well. Hey, we're adding a second table. So for us, in less than a year, we have 15 installs, which doesn't sound like much, but that's pretty good. Another game, again, one of ours, DJ Wild Stud Poker. It started off slowly, it's been out for about 2 years, but the last 6 months, it's really starting to accelerate. And there, again, I'm sure I'm missing some of our competitors' games because there are good games. There are a lot of great games out there. But the incubation process always fascinates me. Because you think it's going to be a big hit right out of the box. It always takes 18 months. Always takes 2 years.
Right.
I can go historically to games that we've had and games other companies have had. There are no overnight successes.
Sure. Right. And, of course, simplicity is always still the answer to at least the beginning of success.
Yeah, it's a very interesting tightrope that you walk. You got to keep your game interesting. Sorry, you got to keep your game simple, but you have to keep it interesting. If simplicity were the only criterion, then Casino War would be our most successful game.
Right.
Where it is not. I mean, it's a successful game, but it's not in the upper echelons with Ultimate Texas Hold'em and Three Card Poker and games like that. So that's the line you have to walk. And listen, I'll be the first to admit, there's a little bit of alchemy involved in all of this.
For sure.
Sometimes you don't know.
Art to it as well as the science, I guess.
Well, I look at our blackjack progresses over the years. We had 7 or 8 fail, and then we put Blazing Sevens out about a year and a half ago, and now that's our fastest growing product. But even we had a couple of other games behind it because we had no reason to believe this would succeed. The other 8 had failed. Why won't this? So we just kept throwing spaghetti at the wall. There's a little bit of luck, and I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to admit that. You try. Hopefully you learn something along the way, and you at least increase your margin for error. That simplicity is a part of it. The math model is a part of it, but I'm not gonna lie. Luck plays a huge element in what we do. Okay. Hey, it's the gambling business.
Sure.
It's only fitting.
That's right. So everybody's been talking about the millennials, and I think a lot of people have been surprised that millennials seem to be gravitating more to the tables than they are to the slots. What do you think that is? Is it the community feeling or what?
Well, it's another interesting question because we've been hearing about that for a long time. Mm-hmm. That was the cause, the cause celeb a few years ago. Everyone was talking millennials. And so the slot machine industry and the casino industry have taken steps to try to get those people. You've seen lounges around town, skill-based gaming. So I've always felt, skill-based gaming, that's table games.
That's table games, right.
Community-type gaming, that's table games. I don't have to do anything. I just have to wait for the customers to show up. And you see it. And I like to be a customer of our own company.
Right.
I will go out there and I'll play games and I'll look around and you notice this. You notice that you go to a place like Morongo and you'll see younger people playing table games more so than slots. And again, this is an opinion. I wouldn't even call it a theory. A theory implies some sort of research, but my opinion from what I've seen is that if you look at everything that young people do with their phones, it's just a vehicle for some sort of interaction. It's a vehicle for interaction. And table games give you that interaction.
Right.
And it's something you get to touch. Mm-hmm. Something you get to, if you have a good hand, people see it. you make a big bet and you win, people share in your experience. So I'm not going to take credit for any of this. I don't think the table game industry can take credit for it, but I think we are the beneficiary of the fact that this group of people likes this kind of experience.
Right. Yeah, no question about that. Any impact from the handheld devices that we're seeing more frequently in casinos now, where they can gamble inside the casino on their own devices or devices provided to them?
Yeah, I'm by no means an expert on those. I have seen them. And at the Empower conference, which is coming up, I'm not sure when this podcast is going to air,
right. But
it's in real time. It's next week at Planet Hollywood. We're going to show our next generation of progressive games that includes something like an iPad embedded into the tables. But the game maintains the same look and feel of a traditional table game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about using the social casino as test ground for some of the table games that you're developing? Has that been used yet?
We do, of course, have our table games out there in that environment. We have not done what I would call market testing for table games, and it's an easy way to do it. But the funny thing about focus group testing, and we do that here, the funny thing about testing with table games is you could probably get a table game developed into a casino just as fast as you could round up, 50 people for a focus group or develop it online for a social casino.
Right.
And there is no better, more reliable, more honest data than getting it live from the players. Real players, real money, real dealers. We've had so many games over the years that have tested so well. Games that I would have bet anything would be successful.
Right.
And they're buried in a hole out back. Because when the real players got it, with real money and real dealers in the real environment, it doesn't matter how it tested.
Yeah.
So our preference is to launch the games out there. We'll whittle them down.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know. In our
company,
we probably have 50 game ideas a year, either inside or outside.
Right.
We probably market 5 or 6 new ideas a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be happy if every 2 years we have a hit.
Yeah.
Where's that piece of paper? I'll sign that deal with the devil right now.
Sure.
Because these games, as you know, you referenced Caribbean Stud.
Right.
They have games with 30 years old, 25 years old. It's still out there. Let It Ride, still out there. Pai Gow Poker, still out there. Most of the successful games are ones that have been around for a long time.
Right. Okay. I just have one more question. We've seen table games, growing on the casino floor as a segment for a while. We just did a story in our last issue on the changing real estate on the slot floor. Where do you think table games are going to land when the casino floor is really fully redesigned and is available to the hallowed millennials?
Well, again, this is more opinion than it is theory. I think table games will continue to grow, but everything in the industry is always changing. You're so close to it, you don't feel it, but it's changing constantly. And if you go back 10 or 15 years, they were ripping out table games to put in more banks and slot machines all the time.
Right.
And now it's I wouldn't say that we have reconquered that territory, but we're making some progress in table games. And again, that could change over time. You can never be satisfied. One thing that I hope people know about Scientific Games when it comes to table games is that we're relentless. We are constantly working on things for the benefit of the casino industry. And I applaud our competitors. Maybe I don't like them, but I applaud our competitors when they're successful as well. Because I love table games. I've been in table games for the last 20 years. And anything that can move the ball forward, advance the cause of table games, is something I think is terrific. As to where it lands, I think you'll see more and more table games going in. Hopefully they're ours, and hopefully they have a shuffler on them. And I'm hoping that things like we talked about earlier, RFID or the optical reading, we're actually enabling casinos to get a lot of data out of the card shufflers now so they can operate their businesses better. But I think as long as we keep advancing, and the casinos too, I do not want to discount them from this. If you go into a casino now versus 10 years ago, the levels of customer service are incredible. It's like walking into a bank now. Everyone's so friendly.
Right.
You go to a casino now, it's a wonderful experience. The casino operators, to their credit, have taken the point of differentiation they have with table games. They have a live human being standing there, and they have used that to your advantage. Games are fun. Dealers keep it interesting. And I salute our casino operators for doing that, because that makes a huge difference for the experience of the player.
It does. It's no more dummy up and deal like it was when I was a dealer.
No, it really is. It is personalities. It's fun. It's entertainment. And they've done a great job with it.
Great. Well, Roger, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. It's a lot going on in your side of the world, so we'll stay in touch and get back to you next year when we do our next story on table games.
Terrific. Thanks, Roger.
If you enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.